If you could turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 7 to the end. Colossians chapter 4, 7 to the end. This is God's word. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you and we come to your word. We thank you for the book of Colossians. We thank you for the things that we have seen there. And we pray, Lord, as we come to the end and as we read these final verses, that our hearts may be encouraged and strengthened in you. We know that you are working. We know that you are good. Please be with us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you know those moments when you're in sync with someone, when you're doing something or you want something? Sometimes, because Luke and I are here so often, if I see him walking and I kind of catch his eye and I go like this, and we both know what that means, we're probably going to go to Starbucks, right? You're in sync, you know. We have a goal, and we usually achieve it if it's Starbucks. If it's other things, maybe not so much. Maybe it's cooking or fixing something or building something or in a conversation. If you talk to somebody and you're understanding each other, there's a rhythm that goes with it, or you're cooking, and you know, cooking, especially in small kitchens, is actually quite difficult because you're always bumping backs and going around, and somebody never puts the knife in the right place. I don't know why. And people have different rules on how to wash knives. Some people put it in the dishwasher. I don't know why. It ruins the knife, right? You should wash it by hand and then dry it immediately. That's just a secret. It's a safety trick. But again, see, people are particular, so it's hard to be in sync about things. But those moments, especially when working towards a common goal, that you really connect with someone and you move almost seamlessly, you see it a lot in team sports or when you're doing something in manual labor. You can anticipate needs, pick up on nonverbals. The verbals are clear and things like that. Especially if you believe what you're doing, it brings a certain joy to the task at hand to do it with someone else. But more often than not, do these tasks actually often feel more tense and dreary? We can have just as many stories of teamwork gone awry, of miscommunications, of misunderstandings, of misapplications, the ongoing joke that we all had in school about a group project. There's always one person that does all the work, isn't there? Yet I think if we're all honest about what it means to work together as a team and what that looks like and moving towards a common goal, there is a part of our heart that longs for that, whether it's with family or with coworkers or with friends or even when traffic goes smoothly on a Monday morning. These verses at the end of the book of Colossians are as practical as they get about teamwork, about working together, about partners in the gospel. It almost feels unclimactic. Doesn't it? The letter to the Colossians is one of the most beautiful and stunning letters, I think, in all of Scripture. And this is how Paul chooses to end it. He talks about those that he labored with, worked with, suffered with. He challenges and encourages them. Those who have encouraged him and commending them to the church at Colossae. So as we come to the end of the book of Colossians, we actually get some final lessons on working and laboring together for the work of the gospel. The book of Colossians deals with who Jesus is, who we are in light of that, and what that means for our lives. And here at the end, he gets down to the nitty-gritty, to the day-to-day, to the people that you walk and work with, to the people that you live with. And what does that mean? And we will see that because we are in the Lord, we can be fellow workers that communicate and cooperate for the work of the gospel. What Paul shows us is because we are in the Lord, we can be fellow workers that communicate and cooperate for the work of the gospel. So first, because we are in the Lord. And we've talked about this most of the summer, but it's so good that we're going to talk about it again. The letter to the Colossians has dealt with this single reality, that we are in the Lord. Paul constantly challenged them, put off these things and put on Christ. If therefore you have been raised with Christ, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are in the Lord, and those that believe in Jesus are found in him. In these last few chapters, we have seen the development of that idea. And here at the end, Paul repeats two phrases, in the Lord, fellow workers, and one of you. So this helps us flesh out that idea a little further. First, to be in the Lord means to be united to Christ. Christ has taken the center stage in the letter to the Colossians. He is the firstborn of all creation, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the one who delivers us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This redemption is purchased by Christ and applied to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts and unites us to Christ. This union is seen when the Holy Spirit, through the Word, convicts our hearts of our sin, shows us who Christ is, and enables us to freely accept Christ as he is offered in the gospel. The benefits of this union were discussed throughout the letter to the Colossians. Justification before God, adoption, sanctification. We are united to Christ and enabled in him to live a life of faith. So when we say we are in the Lord, when Paul says you are in Christ, we are in the Lord, we are fellow workers in him, this is what he means. That we believe in him and our hope is found in him alone. Here at the end of Colossians, we keep that in mind and in our hearts. But to be united to Christ also carries with it this caveat. We are now united to each other. Colossians and other parts of the Bible speak of the unity that we have as Christians. The end of many of Paul's letters talk often about those who labored alongside him. Paul acknowledges the work that he is a part of, and it's never a solitary work. Our union with Christ also unites us to one another. Christ is the head of the church. He is the one that brings us all together. We are the body of Christ. That means that which brings us together is something incredible. Paul wrote to people that he never met, and yet he was able to have unity with them by the blood of Christ. Here we see him with various people working together. We do not live the Christian life alone or in isolation. But what does that mean for you and for me? The reality of it is that we are all very different. We are. We have different tastes in movies and jokes and preferences and communication. Some of us like fishing. Some of us can think of nothing worse than going fishing. What is it that brings us together here this morning? Is it that we all like the organ? Or that these wooden pews are just so very comfortable? No. It's the grace and the power of God. Christ is the one that unites us. People from different backgrounds, from every tongue, tribe, and nation, Blessed be the tie that binds. Christ is the one that brings us together. To be united to Christ means also, by that very same work, to be united to one another, whether we like it or not. Because people are messy and life is complicated. And sometimes it is hard to communicate and cooperate. But here, Paul, at the end of his letter, looks at the Colossians and says, we are in the Lord. We are fellow workers. We are united in him. But what does that look like practically, day to day? First, because we are in the Lord, we are fellow workers who communicate. So let's consider what this unity looks like. First, in these verses, we see something very simple. Let's just read verse 7 again. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. That is why Paul sent this letter, sent Tychicus, to communicate and to encourage. These verses, on the very surface, are filled with information. Information about activities and people. Paul even talks about himself, asking them to remember him. Remember my chains. He writes it with his own hand. Communication is a gift between people. The ability to understand each other and share what is happening is a basic foundation of any good and healthy relationship. Paul here shows something very basic and simple, that fellow workers can understand each other and communicate. Because our unity is in Christ, we can therefore and should aim to communicate with one another. That as Christians, we do not live in isolation, but in a community that understands and knows each other. Paul wants them to know about his fellow workers and himself, and he shares his heart with them. We also see how he shares with them. First, the communication acknowledges the gifts of his fellow workers. The comments are dripping with grace. He longs for Tychicus to encourage their hearts. Onesimus is a faithful and beloved brother. He talks about how the brothers have been a comfort to him, that Epaphras is a faithful minister on their behalf and cares for them deeply. The words that Paul shares in our encouragement, he is able to acknowledge and talk about the personal and corporate blessings in life. He longs for them to be encouraged by the news of him and is quick to share the comfort from those other fellow workers. Paul hadn't met the church at Colossae. As we said at the beginning, this was perhaps the most insignificant church that he ever wrote to. And yet, he longed for them to know him. He had never seen them face to face, but united to Christ unites us to one another. So Paul shares. For us practically with our fellow workers, here we can share honestly about the good in our life and the good about others. But the communication here also acknowledges challenges. He's in prison. It's not all sunshine. Paul asks them in the end to remember his chains. He even challenges, which I think is one of the funniest verses in all of Scripture. Can you imagine being Archippus and it being recorded in God's eternal word, an admonition from the apostle telling him that he should fulfill his ministry? He talks about Mark here, which, if you remember from the book of Acts, abandoned him, caused a rift between him and Barnabas. And here Paul tells him to welcome him. Life isn't all sunshine for Paul. It's not all sunshine for us. He talks about those who have struggled for them. Epaphras labored for their sake. He has fellow prisoners. Often Paul says really hard things in his letters. He does not shy away from rebuke and challenge. They are to speak truth to one another, especially when dealing with sin. He does not avoid the subject, but he talks about the hard. He shares with them. He communicates with them. He shares the good and the bad. Once, I was in a situation where there was a big problem in a community that I was part of. And there was two friends that I had, and they had been best friends for about 20 or some years. And they both viewed this problem differently. Okay? And I talked to both of them, and they were furious. And at one point, I remember asking one of them, well, because both of them told me what the other person was thinking, okay? I asked one of them, it's like, oh, is that what they said? And the person said, oh, we've never talked about this. So they were fighting about something, assumed each other's positions, and never once thought after 24 years of friendship to talk about it. And I was floored. And that's so common, isn't it? How easy is it to assume what the other person is thinking? How easy is it to judge ourselves by our best intentions and others by their worst actions? But in the day-to-day Christian living, we are called to talk to each other and especially to pray for one another. All of life isn't one of conflict, but you will see how effective and fruitful and healthy your communication is when you have one. Christ saves all sorts of people, incredibly different people from different backgrounds that by the grace of God are called to work together. We then, by logic, have different ways of communicating, some more deliberative, others more emotional. Some just want the facts, others want the story. So with so many different kinds of people, we have to learn to talk to one another, to talk with those that are not naturally easy to talk to, or to talk with those that are not naturally easy to listen to. I would encourage you to learn to talk with those around you here at All Souls. It will help you as you go from here. And we know we can talk, communicate, and understand because of the grace of God working in our lives and in this world. It doesn't mean that all conflicts suddenly go away if you learn how to communicate effectively. But the truth of the matter is we are called to communicate because we are co-laborers, fellow saints, and we need to be able to talk to one another as far as it depends on you, as the scripture says. That means that you will have. If nobody's ever told you this, let me be the first. You will have hard conversations. You will hear things that you do not want to hear. But those conversations will polish some of the rough edges as you learn to communicate with all sorts. In some ways, it is the work of Christ that allows us to do this. Naturally, and left to ourselves, we would gravitate only to those who can give us something, who we prefer, who we get, who are easy to understand and to love. But the gospel unites us to each other and changes our hearts that we would love those that we may not necessarily find easy to love. And part of that is to share with one another, to take a moment and to talk. Fellow workers, communicate. But because we are in the Lord, fellow workers also cooperate. The laboring together is not just talking together, but cooperation in the work. One of the things that cannot be missed here in the end is the job that they have and we have. They are all working together for the proclamation of the gospel. They have a mission. All of them at the Church of Colossae had a message. The work that they have can be divided into two complementary but distinct categories: the work of gospel proclamation and the work of the edification of the saints. Because we are in Christ, we can cooperate in the work of gospel proclamation. That's what Paul is talking about here by his fellow workers. That's why he's in prison. He refers to them as faithful ministers and fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Even Epaphras, as we saw early in Colossians, is one who shared the gospel originally with the church at Colossae. Christians labor together for the work of gospel proclamation. We too here at All Souls labor together to proclaim the truth of Christ in this world. We're reminded of Romans 10 when it reads, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." because we are in Christ, we can cooperate in the work of gospel proclamation, and we do so together on Sunday mornings and in daily life. But also, because we are in Christ, because we are in the Lord, we can cooperate in the work of the edification of the saints. We see that when he talks about Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. He talks about a church, but here Epaphras is always struggling, always praying for them, always thinking of them. One of the clearest cooperations we have here as a church is one of mutual edification, sanctification, and maturity. We need one another. The means that God has provided for our growth in character and godliness is the church. It is this community. We are here to learn from one another in humility and grace. And this is all by God's mercy. We work together because Christ has brought us together. Jesus builds his church. And on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Here we see Paul encouraging Nympha and the church in her house. We work together as the church of Christ to proclaim the gospel and for the edification of one another, that we may grow to be more and more like Jesus. The truth of the matter is that although Luke and I and sometimes Ethan preach on Sunday morning, gospel proclamation is on all of us. It's on the church of Jesus Christ, and we gathered here are partners in gospel ministry. What are the ministry opportunities before us for our community here at All Souls, and what do these things look like practically in the day-to-day? I hope that by coming and hearing the word preach and interacting with one another, you would be ready to always share the hope that you have in Christ with those around you. A hope that as you go throughout your weeks with your neighbors and coworkers and friends, you are ready to share the good news of Jesus. We should also consider the special opportunity we have here as a church to share Christ with the students that are coming in 2 weeks. We can partner together as we love our community here and the huge blessing that they are to our church. Every mid-August, anybody that lives in town gets a little sad. Why? Because everything's fuller. Costco's more full. The roads are more full. But what a blessing it is for us that we can love the students that are far from their families, that are maybe alone for the first time, that are maybe exploring the reality that the faith that they grew up with can become their own. RUF does a great work, but as they come on Sunday morning, the way that we partner in the gospel is simply by loving them, sharing with them, and challenging them in some cases. A lot of these students need someone to talk to or other practical help, and Ethan and Jen cannot talk to them all the time. It's not practical. Most of all, we can pray for them and care for them. And if you see one on a Sunday morning, take time to say hello and share with them a word of friendship. We can also love our community here in Urbana. We are Christians here in Central Illinois. We're not Christians in Chicago or Phoenix or Dallas, here. And one of the blessings is that we can get to know our neighbors. You know, when I first moved into my house, my neighbor came over with cookies. It was the strangest thing to me. I grew up in Chicago. You don't want to know your neighbors. You want people to stay out of your business. Not here. And that's a blessing. What would it look like to love here in Central Illinois? We have the advantage of everything being 15 minutes away if you live in town. But even if you drive from the surrounding towns, there's the advantages of being here in the Midwest in this time and place. We can spend time together. Life is a little slower here, and the traffic is really not that bad. There is something good and beautiful about that. There are a lot of community events and activities that we can get involved with and share with one another. What would it look like for you to love people here? To love your neighbors and your coworkers? We have
also, not only in the gospel proclamation, but investing in one another for our mutual edification. There are informal ways to get coffee with people, to share your life, or even after church. And if you need someone to talk to, and I might regret saying this, it's okay to just stop by the church and knock on the door. If we're here, we'll open. What does it mean to love each other and to be with one another here? To be invested in the lives of the saints around you? To rebuke and to encourage? Does anybody really know you here? And I mean really know you. I mean the kind of knowing that when you walk in on a Sunday morning and there's something wrong, they can just look at you. But there's also formal ways that we can invest in each other. Sunday school just ended, but it's starting again in September. It is a blessing to gather and to learn. And if you have time, I would encourage you to come. It's not a requirement. Nobody keeps tabs, at least I don't. But I've always enjoyed that time to share and to love other people. It's always a joy to hear people's opinions and questions and discuss things which are important to all of us. And I would encourage you to get involved. It's early, I know. But I think it's worth it. And I usually don't say that because I don't want to guilt people into doing something, because that never works. But I'm genuinely telling you, if you have time and can come to a Sunday school when they start again, they have been a joy to me. Because we are in the Lord, we can communicate and we can cooperate. Because we are in the Lord, saved by Christ and united to each other, we can be fellow workers. We can be fellow workers that share with one another, that know each other, that talk together. And we can be fellow workers that cooperate, that have a purpose and a mission to proclaim the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to serve one another with our mutual gifts for our mutual edification. None of us know it all. And so God gave us each other to serve one another. And so let us grow as a community that shares and works together for the work of the gospel. And that's how Paul ends his letter. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are good and gracious. You bring us together. You are the head of the body, which is your church. Lord, I pray for everyone here and for myself that we could be faithful, that we could share honestly with one another and in prayer before you, Lord. Lord, help us to cooperate in this work of the gospel proclamation of the good news of our Savior. Help us, Lord, in these next few weeks as new students come or as different people visit. Give us strength and wisdom to be hospitable and welcoming and understanding, but also to speak the truth in love. Help us to love those that are not easy to love, to listen to those that are not easy to listen to share with those that are not easy to share with. Help us to be courageous and confident because we lean on your grace and your mercy. Help us to know our identity in you is what helps us to live lives that reflect you in the world. But help us with our words and our actions to reflect the gospel that we have come to believe. Forgive us for the ways that we have neglected community, for the ways that we have not shared as we should, that we have not served as we should, where it was easier to run away, to drift away, to pull away, or to have conflict and to attack. Lord, help us and form us to be peacemakers, to be people that love, that breathe grace into situations, and even in those that solutions do not come quickly or at all, help us to trust and to depend in you. You are our God, and we are your people. Whom have we in heaven but you? Thank you, O Lord, for this church, for these people. Thank you for everyone gathered here. And we pray for those that may be struggling or distressed that you would be with them. Help us to be a body that loves each other, that weeps with those who weep, and rejoices with those who rejoice. Help us to remember the chains and the hardships, but also the good and the joys. Thank you for all the different people that you've brought together here, and help us as we live out our calling in sharing you in this world. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.